Jacopo de la Quercia is an educator and history writer who has authored more than 100 articles for the comedy website Cracked.com. His work has been featured in the New York Times bestseller You Might Be a Zombie and Other Bad News. His new book is the historical thriller The Great Abraham Lincoln Pocket Watch Conspiracy. The book is an equal parts cocktail of action, adventure, science fiction, and, of course, comedy. It follows a globe-trotting President Taft and Robert Todd Lincoln in a race to solve a mystery stretching back to the Civil War and the Lincoln assassination. Based on true events, the book describes a vast conspiracy spanning four continents and three oceans during the turn of the century. It, again, is the Great Abraham Lincoln Pocket Watch Conspiracy. And we welcome Jacopo de la Quercia to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you here. I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, but that's not your real name.
Oh, no. My real name is Giacomo Calabria.
Okay.
And when I actually started writing for Cracked, I was also teaching classes on the side, and I was also working for political campaigns as well. So because it was a little controversial to be juggling them at the same time while writing for a comedy website, I adopted a pen name, which was, one, a nickname I've been called my whole adult life, and at the same time was on something very near and dear to me, history.
Okay, so where does that come in, De La Quercia?
Oh, well, Jacopo de la Quercia was a CNE sculptor in the Renaissance. And
how dumb should I feel that I don't know that?
Hey, how dumb should I feel that I didn't know it until my sister started calling it? But no, I mean, the truth is, and this is something really where...
Your sister's really smart.
Oh, she's very smart. Okay, my uncle is very smart.
All right.
But the truth is that, and I really didn't fully appreciate this until I was speaking about it at the Mark Twain House, a museum. They asked me to speak before my book came out.
In Hartford, right?
Exactly. And that is that the words Mark Twain meant something very near and dear to Samuel Clemens. They meant safe waters. But at the same time, it was also edgy. It meant when waters become safe, or at the same time, when safe waters become dangerous. It meant something very near to him, and Jacopo de la Quercia means something very near and dear to me, history.
Okay, so, but now when I feel when I call you Jacopo, that I'm like making fun of you like your sister did.
No. This is so disappointing. My real name is not Jacopo, it's Giacomo. It's the same exact name. It is the latter. The latter is the Latin of the former Italian.
So. Okay, that's all. No. All right. So we got that out of the way. Excellent.
Yes.
Let's get to the meat of the subject, and that is this great book. It's a novel, as I said in the introduction, based on true events. So what is true?
Well, what I did is I got many real events, such as the real-life mystery of what happened to the pocket watch Abraham Lincoln wore the night he was assassinated.
All right. He went to Fort Sutter, he walked in, he had the pocket watch on.
Well, we believe he did.
Okay.
And what's interesting is we have good reasons to believe that he did. It was a gala, it was a fundraiser, it was, for lack of better terms, a night on the town. He would have been expected to have the watch. And because a lot of research had been done on Lincoln's pocket watches, if you've heard, they recently discovered a message hidden in one of his pocket watches.
Yes.
I actually interviewed the man who opened the watch and found that out. His name is Harry Rubinstein at the Smithsonian. He's one of the people in my acknowledgments. And I would get real events like that where there were genuine mysteries of where is this pocket watch? Do we have it? And the records are lost. We don't know. And using that and other events from history, such as the Civil War, the sale of Alaska, the beginning of World War I, the Teddy Roosevelt presidency, and mainly the Taft presidency, I connected all these real events together almost like teeth and gears. And through them, I was able to thread the narrative that would get all these seemingly unrelated events and turn them into a grand conspiracy through history.
Okay. So basically, you use the real events as a timeline and as a framework for you to weave that tale in which we see Taft and Robert Todd Lincoln working together, sort of.
Yes. And in real life, the two of them were friends. We have photographs of them together. We know that Robert Todd Lincoln, who could have been president many times in American history but chose not to, he sided with President Taft during the schism within the Republican Party in 1912. But it was not only that. There was just this incredible—all these events happened together around the centennial of Abraham Lincoln's birth, which was in 1909. We had so many incredible events, such as the end of Teddy Roosevelt's presidency, the beginning of what eventually became the FBI within the Justice Department, the reappearance of Halley's Comet, this real-life scandal involving J.P. Morgan and the Guggenheims in Alaska, and ultimately Taft's presidency. And it was just the coalescing of all these events together that seemed so unrelated. If they were connected in real life, it just would have been this huge machine that was turning underneath our feet this whole time.
So you, as I mentioned in the introduction, you write a lot for the comedy website, Cracked. And so did you go through, did you go into this saying, okay, I want to flex that muscle, but only a little, because while the book certainly is funny, it is not. It doesn't have that same loony side that some of the columns do.
Well, when it comes to Cracked, they, in their own wisdom, have come up with their special way of how the article should be, which is a list format and not a lot of opportunity for narrative. And there are parts in my book that could have sufficed as Cracked articles. There's one part where they have a car ride in Washington, D.C., where they talk about the whole history of space exploration up to that moment in history. And it covers fascinating aspects. We learn the origin of the term little green men. We learn about how books such as Gulliver's Travels successfully predicted that Mars had two moons. And it's those little events that I was already familiar with as a Cracked writer that I was able to put in my story in narrative form rather than simple list form.
The construction of the novel I find fascinating because it's really neat how you tell the story, and it is in such a way that it can be a whirlwind and also let you go into a lot of different directions at once.
Well, what I particularly enjoyed with that is not simply writing a story that took place during this time period, but I did everything I could to make it read like a book written from that time period. I used an etymological dictionary so that all of the slang was correct. Even the narration was contemporaneous for the time period. And the story follows four main characters, and I tried to have each of their chapters follow a theme of literature from that time period. President Taft, his stories are very adventurous, very Jules Verne, very Alexandre Dumas. Chief Wilkie, his stories are a little bit like the detective novels that had just started from the time. And Robert Todd Lincoln, his stories are very classical, very gothic, very visual, like Edgar Allan Poe. And Major Archibald Butt, his sections are very militaristic, very to the point, a little bit like Ulysses S. Grant's memoirs. And using all those moments from history, these great works of literature, I was able to, in a way, celebrate all of them through these four main characters.
The idea of working with history, as I mentioned, you are a history writer and an educator, so you're on ground that you are familiar with, yes, but also comfortable with.
Well, not only that, this is also material that I would like to learn more about. I specifically wanted to challenge myself by choosing a period in history where I knew there was a lot more to appreciate, but ultimately I knew there was more I could learn about it. And that was part of the excitement when I have all these footnotes in the book, these newspaper articles I came across, some of these diary entries, these letters. These were materials that I was able to learn during my research, and not only did I really enjoy them and I find them interesting, I want my readers to follow this paper trail, not only so that they can become immersed in this real history, but so that they themselves can become familiar with the sources that I used and the resources I used, so that they, in any subject, can do the same thing for their research or their enjoyment.
In some of the reviews, there is a connection and a comparison to you and Jules Verne, which I think is interesting.
Which is... It's music to my ears. Very polite of them, of course.
It's very nice, but it's also, I mean, it speaks to the tenor of the book that it is not, that it's, we're not talking about a very linear piece of work.
Well, not only that, I would say the one work by Jules Verne that it's probably closest to is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Yeah. And just as Captain Nemo, his element was water. President Taft, using humorism, the four humors, his element is air. And my Nautilus in the story is the Zeppelin. This I was able to create. I got the schematics for the Hindenburg and created a super Zeppelin.
That's a good example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. and not only that, there's a chapter in 20,000.
What could go wrong?
Well, not only that, there's a chapter in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea called In Mobilis Mobili, which is the motto for the Nautilus. And it's just Jules Verne did an incredible job turning the Nautilus into a character that you understand and you appreciate and you know very well in the story. And for this book, I wanted to create a somewhat familiar idea, a presidential airship. It's Air Force One at the turn of the century, Airship One, that really is treated like a character and many people relate to it, they emote it, and as the circumstances in the story unfold, they become very emotionally attached to it.
You have a thing in here about, which I thought was fascinating too, for further reading.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when it came to the fact I was able to write this book in relatively little time, about 1 year of research and about 100 days of writing, I was able to do that because so many people have dedicated their whole lives to these subjects. And it's the kind of thing where I could not have written this book 10 years ago because all this research was already done. I want readers who read this and who enjoy it, or even educators who use this as a way of exciting their classrooms and getting their students familiar with these people. I want them to go out there and read the expanded history that I base this upon, because virtually every character in the book is a real person with a real history. And if they just go online to Google or Wikipedia or read the recommended texts, they can see the great backstory that helped me as I wrote it.
The name of the book is The Great Abraham Lincoln Pocket Watch Conspiracy. It is published by St. Martin's Griffin, and the book is out in paperback. Jacopo de la Quercia, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for bringing the special treats.
My pleasure, Joe. courtesy of Creshon Bakery on Lark Street.
Very, very nice. Thank you for that, and thanks for being with us. Again, it's The Great Abraham Lincoln Pocket Watch Conspiracy. A great pleasure to have you here. Have a wonderful holiday season.
You too. The pleasure is mine.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.